Praise the Lord. Today, I'm going to read some poems from right here. And I'm going to really suggest that you get the tapes because what I'm doing is I'm really completing what I started yesterday and then finished with some more this morning. Really, it's just kind of part of my journey. You guys, the playing musicians here, fantastic. There's a new sound that's coming out of the choir. It's not like it's always been. If you've never worshipped like this before, I'm welcome to the tea today. You know, something in my life with God, I became very fascinated with the creatures that God has in heaven, and particularly because I've been on a few rides with some of them, and I began to understand that there was more to them and what they did and the purpose behind what they did. But even more than that, I began to realize that there was a similitude in their image that began to really fascinate me. And so tonight, if you're taking notes, and really this is kind of a conclusion to our conference together and our time together, because what I'm going to talk about, I'm hoping I'm going to shatter your image forever of God and who you think God is. I don't know whether you've ever had contact with a person called God or whether you've ever wondered what he's like. I'm hoping tonight to shed some light on that from my own experience and my own encounter with a person called God. See, I don't even believe the church really believes that he is a person. They think he's some entity that is up there somewhere that is all powerful that looks down and goes, oh, every time you come there. Not realizing that he's a person that has emotions. Very, very sensitive person that is desperate to love and desperate to be loved on. I'm hoping to shake your image of God from a mild and meek and nice, gentle person to a fierce, forceful, strong, and free person. Uninhibited and uncontained by our imagination. Uninhibited and uncontained by the thoughts that we have of him or about him. And you get an idea of what it looks like. I kind of want to just talk over some things because the major principle of anything that is around God is going to reflect God. So you begin to look at the things that are closest to God, you'll begin to get an idea of the image of the person that they gaze on all the time, 24/7, for eternity. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be in the presence of that glory and that person for as long as some of these angels have been? Do you not think that they would begin to take on the very form and the codedness of the one they're gazing at because of the power of change and creation and anointing and glory that is with the one that they surround? See, these are the things that I wonder about in my life with God. These are the things that I'm now dreaming about and trying to get hold of and to bring some answers to some of the desperation in the body because they want to know. The body wants to know what these creatures are that are like wheels that have eyes and feathers on them. They want to know what the wheels are within wheels. They want to know what the spirit living creatures are. They want to know what the whirlwinds are, what these creatures are, the purpose designed creatures that God has made other than angels. What their role and what their function is. Hallelujah. And that payment for my voice is that deep from the onion screaming. I want to read that. I'm not going to tell you where it is because you'll look there. So I want you just to listen to what I'm saying. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, and the 5th day of the month, as I was about the captives by the river of Sheba, that the heavens were open and I saw a vision of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of the king Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to me, the priest, the son of Buzai, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Sheba, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst there came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance, that they had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet. And the soles of their feet like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. And the wings were joined one to another, and they turned everyone when they went. And they went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, the four had the faces of a man, the face of a lion, on the second side of the face. Man, I've got to just... My problem is I'm not here. So I better just read what I'm supposed to be reading here. For the likeness of their faces, they four had a face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. And thus were the faces of their wings were stretched upward, two wings on one side joined one to another, two covering their bodies, and they went everyone straight forward where they went, where the spirit was to go, and they went and they turned not where they went. Have you ever wondered how a creature with four sides can go every which way it wants? Without having to turn, without dividing in the middle. Have you ever wondered that? I did. It's the most amazing thing to turn up underneath them. For the likeness of the living creatures, the appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning, so the living creatures ran and returned, as the appearance of flashes of lightning. And as I behold the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth, but the living creatures with its four faces. And the appearance of the wheel in the earth was like under the color of a barrel, and the four had one likeness. And it just goes on and on, and on and on, about four. These creatures cover the manifestation of the majesty of the person of God when he appears on the throne. These creatures are around him in that arena 24/7, 24 eternity. If the creatures of the Lord that are around him will become a reflection of the image of the person that is inside there. It takes on an interesting timber, doesn't it, really? So I wonder what God really looks like. I often wondered why they covered Moses' face with a veil. Days of being in the cloud with God, why they covered his face. He says they covered it because of the glory. Yes, I can understand that. But why were they afraid of what they saw? Was it something else that was happening with the face of Moses when he came out of that cloud that brought terror into the heart of the people that beheld him? I just want to get it. You've got to understand something here. This has only happened to me in the last 4 weeks, so what you're hearing from me, normally I get things and I sit in them for 2 years so that I can get to understand them before I teach them, and so this is hot off the press. So I don't have all the scriptural foundation, I just have an experience that I don't have as basis in the Word. That's what I'm trying to get to you today. It's amazing, you know, when Jesus died, after his resurrection, he wasn't recognized by those that were the closest to him. I wonder why. Mary, one of the women closest to Jesus, thought he was a gardener standing there gawking at her. But the moment he spoke her name, he recognized the voice. So while You know, anyone who gets near the Father is going to take on his image. Because the Bible says as he goes upon him, as in a mirror, he can change the darkness, he can change from glory to glory. See, God is in the changing business. And the changing business comes out of your steps of pursuing the person in intimacy to encounter with the person in revelation. And so I want to talk about these four faces because they're key. Now, I didn't understand this when I had my experience, and I will talk about that at the end. The Bible is very clear what these living creatures look like. It says they had a face of an ox, the face of an eagle, the face of a man, and the face of a lion. And you know, right through the Bible, those four characters are pinpointed as pieces of information that is laid in the Word that give us an indication of the possibility of what God looks like because they reflect the character of God. Let's look at the ox. The ox has strength and endurance. It symbolizes might. The Bible talks about the fat of the ox that breaks the yoke. The ox carries burdens. The ox is very patient. And the ox is usually very obedient to its master. Let's look at the eagle. It symbolizes liberty and majesty. It's represented by wisdom and knowledge. An eagle is a hunter. It's a trainer. It's a nest builder. And it's free. Let's look at man. Man symbolizes strength or being strong, which brings understanding and counsel because of the vulnerability of his nature. Expressions of emotions enables him to touch and relate and has tremendous feelings. The lion. Fierce, free, ruler, symbolizes lordship, authority, dominion, and might. Reflections as a king. His rulership establishes boundaries. Each of these four faces has a unique character and ability in the natural world in a state of imperfection. How much more in the state of perfection? In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 49 it says this, as we have known or as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We are going to bear the image of the heavenly. We are going to bear the image of God. We are going to bear the nature of God. We are going to bear the realm of God. God has given us dominion over the devil because of the kingdom that he has given back to us in Christ Jesus. Why do you think devils hate Christians? It's because they hate the image that they bear because they recognize what they lost when they fell from the state of perfection. That's why they hate man. They hate man because he's the closest thing that God has to himself. They try and destroy him because God is Lord. And the way they can hurt God is to hurt those that He made. Jesus restored that. Jesus gave it back. Jesus brought back dominion in our lives. He's given us authority over the devil and all his thoughts. I want to share something with you. When we were in Hastings in my city, we had some witches that decided to curse our church. What they did was they bought a sacrificial knife with blood on it and put it on our doorstep. And they said that every person in your church, once a week, somebody will die. Until your church is disbanded. We just happened to arrive there before the rest of the people, so we cleaned it up. And you know something? God, when you live in a covenant, becomes the protector of that covenant. What happened that night is one of the ladies in the church had a vision of this angel going into the midst, and now she didn't even know that this happened, into the midst of a witch's circle, and began to throw them around the room. It brought absolute terror into the hearts of these women and these men that had cursed our church. The lion of the tribe of Judah began to roar. The next morning, one of these women ran our church elder, leader, and said to this person, "What do I need to do? I am in terror of what I have done because of what happened last night. We were trying to curse you, and all of us started getting thrown around the room, and we ran out of there afraid to go back, and we come against something that we've never touched before. What do I need to do to get this God that you have in you?" You see, when you touch an heir of salvation and you live under a covenant of promise, the Bible says this, those that curse you, I will curse. The next day, you know, the Bible says this, a curse without a cause cannot light and returns from whence it came. The next day, we had another phone call from a lady who was in that group. And she rang as well and said, "Please help me." Today, the two that bought the blood put it on your church door again. She said, "Help me. What do I need to do?" See, you've got to understand the nature of the lion. When the lion comes into a paddock where there's demons, it takes charge. The lion, when it walks in the bush, doesn't take sides. It takes charge. See, that's the nature of the lion. The eagle is just as fierce, yet just as loving. An eagle is a hunter that will pursue and watch its prey until it is vulnerable. You know what God does when people curse the church of God? He watches for the most vulnerable points, and when they least expect it, He smites them into they won't repent. He gives them opportunity. The eagle is also a nest builder who watches over her chicks. She covers them with her body, protecting. protects them and overshadows them and looks after them. Man, the most vulnerable of the creatures, yet the most intelligent. The only one that has a soul. The only one that is ever going to live before the glory of God in a resurrected state. And in fact, actually, I've just been rambling because there's been a spirit force that's been trying to do something that's not right. And you see, what I do is I preach to the spirit realm, letting it know that it's in trouble. Hallelujah. See, I don't want their blood on my head. Let's read the scripture here. As the four, the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. These creatures came out of the midst of the swirling whirlwind that came down that Ezekiel saw. They came out of the very presence of the person of God. When God began to invade the earth, they came out of this realm and out of the realm from the presence of the Almighty and Ezekiel began to see them for what they were. Now, I'll tell you this. I wish I knew this before I saw the person. My last session, I talked to you about entering the cloud of darkness that surrounds the person, not the demonic cloud, but the veil that the person of God puts around himself to protect us from dying when he turns up. You see, when you've been there once, the door is open for you to return to the place of encounter and protection under the hand and the wing of God. Because they that dwell in the secret place of God abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that shadow is a covering that destroys every dart and attack of the enemy. But you've got to find that secret place, and that secret place is in that cloud where he is. And I can remember in my time of going back into this cloud again and again, because I knew that when I go there, you know, I used to go through a list of questions, wanting to see the presence of God, to ask him personal questions about why. What happened? And you know, when you're in the presence of God, things of this world become totally irrelevant. Because he's the only relevance that you need. You see, it's not about you. It's about him. You see, it's all about him. It's about his power. It's about his dominion. It's about his rulership. It's about his might, his strength. That's what it's about. He's given it all to us. And you know, when I first saw the Lord in that cloud, standing like this, and I shared that this morning, you really get the tape and hear it, because this is where we start from. You got to understand that the entry, the terror that is this side of the person of God, is not like that when you're next to him, because you're under the shadow of his wing. And it's that wing that you must hide underneath to come under his covering. See, like a mother eagle covers a chick's dogs, cloud covers his children. He will look after what he owns. And so in the midst of this thing, I began to understand that there was more to God. I knew that I was seeing more than what my mind was perceiving. Now, in my mind, I'm looking at a person that has arms and flesh just like me.
And I'm wondering why I can't see the fullness of what I'm supposed to. In here, he talks about fire and lightning and the way these creatures look when they move and the way they sparkle and what happened to them and their appearance and what they were like. And I began to realize that my image of my expectation of what God was like was different than what he actually was like. I found I had to actually repent because Jesus was different after he had died and after his resurrection than what he was when he was in the flesh. Can you see the lie that's in the church? You see, Jesus changed. He changed because he went before the glory of the Father to redeem us back into relationship with God. So therefore, my image of my expectation must be different to what Jesus looked like. Well, the closest thing to what he looks like, you want to know, is you go into the area where he is transfigured. So you can find in Matthew and Mark the way he was transfigured. What he was like, the Bible says that his skin shone like white glory. Like brightness. That's what he looked like at his transfiguration. So that surely must give me an idea of what Jesus looks like. So what God looks like if Jesus had been with him and Jesus appeared in the resurrection form. And he was different than what he was in the natural form. That means that Jesus changed. And I had to change my perspective and my perspective on what I thought Jesus would be like. So what God would be like. You see, God has the form of a man. It doesn't even look like a man. And so with that in my mind, thinking about the white glory and what it must have been like, and then one of the experiences that I had, putting my hand on the bit of fire and the transparency that happened, my mind began to get hold of that there's a possibility that God's skin would be different than what my mind was trying to understand and get to God's way. And I can remember coming back into that cloud of glory and standing again in front of him and focusing, I've got to see the skin of God. I've got to get to grips with what he looks like, because I need to understand that that is what I am going to look like when I come to meet him on that day of my salvation. The day of the Lord is what I'm going to look like. I can remember coming in there and my mind was filled with pictures of glory, white, you know, white, Lord's skin white. You understand the principle? I need something for the spirit world to enter onto in my mind so that it can begin to hold on to the images that my spirit man has seen. And so I was kind of standing and I began to lower my eyes and began to focus in because to me there'd just be nothing there, yet I knew he had hands. As I began to focus in, gradually into my mind came an image of what the skin of God was like. You could take diamonds, put them all together in one long mat, put fire into them, put the colors of the rainbow into it, and make it alive and make it move, then you get an idea of what I began to see. Now, here is the interesting thing. It was so full of color that it was blue-white. Deep, deep blue-white. And I'm looking at it going, wow, how come nobody ever told me that my God's skin is white? And so the next day I came, I thought, Lord, I want to go touch you. Your word says, Paul said, who my hands have handled. Well, I want to handle God. I want to go and touch him. You know, I love my children. I love them coming and touching me.
That if I'm an earthly father, and I'm like that with my children, how much more my heavenly Father wants us as children to come and explore Him and be with Him and touch Him. Dare I touch God? Well, why not? Call Him Dad. You see, I call Him Dad. And I can remember going in there the next day thinking, I, Lord, I'm going to touch Your hand. I'm going to touch Your presence in Your person. And I can remember going inside there the next day and looking at it and getting to touch it like that. And you know something? It was warm. The skin was old, yet it was young. But it was warm. And the most interesting thing that happened, I expected a rush of anointing and love this way. Instead, it went this way first. Can you see all God's been waiting for us to be loved on? Yes, children. And I can remember them standing there holding it. But it is the thing, it's just like a ladder. You go up first, then you can come down, and He comes down with you. I kept on holding my hand on it, and then I felt the reverse start to happen. I felt the love that was in the body of God, the life that was there, begin to come around my life and through my hand, into my body. Now you talk about being loved on. Not only was His Spirit embracing me, but His whole body, which is alive, began to embrace me. Most amazing thing that God's desire is to be loved on by the ones that He's made. He's got a family and wants a family. He's got a need to be around a family. He's going to need a family around Him. This is what Jesus is all about. He brings us back to that point of being able to relate with God as a Father. He brings us back into the place of being able to relate with the realm of heaven, with the throne of God dwells, below the second heaven above us. You see, you bring back down from that realm of God, destroying all the demons in the second heaven on your way back. What a much easier way to fight warfare. And so I began to think, Lord, now see, in my mind now I have an anchor of the image of this fire, skin, glory, power, majesty, the skin that's alive, that's warm, that burns with fire, that is alive and full of light. And in my mind, I've got this image, God, Your word says that You spoke to Abraham face to face. You spoke to him. My religious belief was, if I see the face of God, I'm going to die. The Bible does say that. Do you know when it says you die, when you look right into that word, it doesn't mean that you die as you die to death. You die to resurrection. You die because there's a change in the nature of the sin. There's a change in the nature of who you are. That's what God's business is changing our nature and the being of Himself in us. When I realized that, my religious belief went out the window. I thought, Lord, I'm going to come. I want to speak to You as a son, face to face. Because I want to be more than a son. I want to be a friend of the Almighty. The one who made heaven and earth. The one who created all and put it in place that the devil tried to run from. And in Jesus, God defeated him. And gave it all back to the believers in Jesus Christ. Next day, I thought, Lord, no matter what it takes, I'm going to lift my eyes to behold my King. If I die, so be it. I can't die in any better place. You see, a choice, everything in God, extends from a choice. Everything in our lives, whether to sin or to death, extends from a choice. And the choices become a reflection of the realm of heaven when we choose heaven. becomes a reflection of the kingdom of darkness when you choose the kingdom of darkness. You take on the image of the thing that you worship. The next day I came to my prayer time, and I went in and around the kingdom, into the dark cloud, and get through the same terror. You've got to go through that terror. But you know the terror becomes easier because of the glory that's on the other side. Because of the love that constrains you to come into that place, it becomes easier, and the great thing, the transition is faster. And that's what God is looking for, is a transition from this realm into His kingdom to stand before the Lord of Lords. He will tell you, I will do it today. Well, you're going to do it in that day. And oh, if you don't have Jesus, you're going to end up burning in hell. And then you. But I love she's alive. I'm having fun. It was amazing when my pastor was in VG. They had some warlocks that came into the meeting, they're trying to disturb the meeting, some of them had transformed themselves into the bats and in the roof, and this young pastor stood up and began to preach salvation and the kingdom of God coming in the realm of heaven and the destruction of the devil and the judgment of the last day, and began to preach and preach and preach, and these bats were making such a noise, eventually they all flew away. Next day one of these guys turned up and said, I want what you were preaching about last night. I was one of them. So you've got to understand what I'm doing here. This is what I mean. This is what Christianity is all about. You know why I like it? Because we win. Hallelujah. The greatest news about God is He can't be put in a box. But He can put the devil in a box. You used to have the song, how did it go? Go to Jesus in my heart, I take him out, hold him close and put him back. And then I've got this little devil in the box, I take him out, crash his face and put him back. Hallelujah. It's a good song, you should practice it sometime. Crash his face. That's what a king used to do when he used to take over another nation, he used to put his foot on the neck of the other king. It's a symbol of defeat. That's what God's done in Christ with us, to defeat the devil with. To crush his speech, to bruise him, to destroy him, to wreak havoc, because the light of God destroys darkness. Hallelujah. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. Him who has an ear, let him hear. And so I came the next day into that place and through the cloud, and I began to think, Lord, whatever happens, I want to speak with you face to face. I want to gaze upon your beauty, not as in a mirror, but Lord, I want to see you face to face. Because the Bible says, the pure in heart shall see God. Lord, it's not in my works that I'm pure, but by thy blood that's given me the right to be pure. By the word of the cross, that I'm now purified by the glory of God. That now I walk in the realm of the kingdom of God, that I'm able to trespass into the realms of God, who is my Father. And so I began to lift my eyes, you know, and suddenly the image of his clothes, like I thought they were red, but they were on fire. When my mind began to really conceive what was happening, is that what was on his skin, the fire that moved in his skin, was moving in the cloak. Because around him there's nothing, this is dead. Clothes are dead. What was covering him was a royal robe of a scarlet red. It was like fire burning, and it moved, and it was alive, and it was glorious. And I began to look it up, and it was all sparkles. You know what was happening? Because what was in him was piercing through the garment. I began to lift my eyes, and as I lifted my eyes, there was this beard, like blue, white, young, but every strand of the hair was alive with the same majesty that was in the skin. You gotta understand about now, I'm going, wow, how
How come nobody ever told me this is what God looks like and this is what we're going to look like when we serve Him instead of serving darkness? And so I began to lift my eyes up higher and I became, three things happened at once. The first thing is I saw the countenance of God and my mind went, because you know why? It was blue white. The eyes were deep, deep blue, like, I don't color, I can't describe color. But the thing about the eyes was inside of them, there was eternity. It was alive. The eternity that God holds in His heart, because He is eternity, is in Him because you can see His soul, and His soul was alive. And it was just the eyes. And so I'm busy trying to take all this in. The second thing that happened, first was the skin, then the eyes. And then into my line of vision came this image. And you know something? I began to realize why the living creatures look like they do. Because you know what began to happen? His face had a face of a man. And then it turned to a face of a lion. To a face of evil. To the face of an ox. To a man. To an eagle, and it never stopped. You know why? Because it's alive. He is alive. He's alive. And I'm sitting there in that place thinking, how come nobody has ever told me that this is what I'm going to look like? So what is the hope of my calling? To look like that? And all you've got to do is die to yourself. And you know what the reward is going to be? Translation. To look like the one. Gaze upon. Out the window. Bring my nice images that I've had of my own earthly father. Forgive me. And when you see me, you try and sort of quickly portray the images because that's the way you work. You try and, you know, you have those things in your own earthly father, good or bad, and you try and hold those things under all the goodness and offenses or all those things you need to deal with, which is just to die to them. I had to die. Now, you've got to understand something. I've been on the lap of God on His throne. He's like a human, and He's not exactly skinny. He's not proud, He's just mortal. He looks different there. What He does in the yonder. He looks different at the boasting than what He does in the crowd. When He comes to the crowd, He appears as a person as He brings us. That's how He relates to us as believers, is as a person. And I'm sitting there and I'm wondering, Lord, why is the church missing the idea of coming to life? See, the only reason we live is to die, to gain. When we die, we gain. The time we die, we gain. We gain a little bit more, and a little bit more. Nobody has ever told me what I'm gaining. When we say, if I need to look like Jesus, that's wonderful. But I want to look like Father, because that's where I inherit and I'm going to write to look like Him, about the nation, His character, the dominion, might, and power, going inside of me, because that's what He put inside of me. You see, it's that seed of who He was and who is and who is to come, bearing forth witness and testament of the realm of heaven that is inside of me that I'm the head of the kingdom. God is the Lord, and He comes to take over. No measure to good or to bad. Everything that is good is good to bad. Before He says this, only what He does that changes us. The only way you will change is to look upon the one who will change you. Daddy, I hope I've worked your image of God. And given you a new one. You see, God is Jesus. God is vulnerable. God is a protector. God is a restorer.
And so there's 4 inches of it. I don't know the picture this story, but it goes on and you see God never changes. And he's never changed from day to evening. When Adam left him and he fell to Satan. What a day it was in heaven when the Father wept because of the breaking of the relationship. But oh, what a day when his son finally cried out, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" He cried it out to return the desire back for relationship and restoration of what had been lost in the garden. You see, in the garden, God cried that out. And Jesus died. Jesus cried it out on our behalf. Jesus gave us back the ability to use relationship with the person of God. That's why he died, is to restore us back into that relationship with God. Jesus is Lord. The Father's King. We are called princes, co-heirs in Christ Jesus, crown of heaven, restored back to us through Jesus' blood, through his price on the cross. He made a way for us by triumphing over the devil in the world. See, that's why I yell and scream when I'm celebrating. That's why I'm aggressive in warfare. That's why I like the way I am, because I know that I win, because I've got someone greater on my side. Now you see, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see what the difference it makes now when I realize that that is inside of me. That's why I'm greater than that which is on the outside of me. That which is inside of me is far greater than made that which is on the outside of me. You see, the church has been all backwards. It has all backwards. Greater is he that is in me. And you think it's us and what we do. No, it's not you that's going to do the thing in you. And what you look like in here looks like that. It's just going to grow more. See? The spirit of the presence of God in us changes our spirit, transforms our soul, and will transfigure your body. How do I know? Because if it happened to Jesus on the earth, and it's going to happen to us. Not just the day you die, it's going to happen to us today. And you tell him, he's on his way. It's God is saying, Mary, Mary. And the recognition of who he is and what he is being restored back is the power of the church. And the word says, every knee shall bow. All things in heaven, all things on the earth, and things under the earth. What are they going to bow to? Heaven is in the earth. We overcome the world. If you see the one who is overcome. You see, all that intimacy, all that you going back and encountering the person of God so that he becomes real to you as a person. Encountering the life of God so that it changes you from who you are into the reality of what you're going to be. And you've got to reflect the image of what he looks like. I'm looking forward to the day when I have to put a veil over my face. Not because of the glory of the sinner and the believer, but because of the changing nature of the character of God being revealed through me to reflect his nature, his kingdom into the world around us, up here in the earth. It's going to be a wonderful day. A wonderful day. What are you going to do? Spend time with him. See, this whole conference is all about you spending time with the creator of the universe. This whole time you've had together is to give you keys on how to go and spend time with the creator of the universe. How to get there, how to facilitate getting there, the keys that will help you to bring you into that place of getting there. God is standing at the doorway, waiting with expectation for you to arise to his ears. He's finally saying, come up here, my beloved, come up here. Hallelujah. This is Christ, Father. Lord God, thank you for the realm of heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you are Lord over everything. You're Lord over the third heaven. You are Lord over the second heaven. You are Lord over the earth. Father, I thank you that when you come and you're bride, you don't come to take side of the bride, you come to take over everything. Jesus, thank you that you made a way for that to happen when you died, when you defeated the devil on the cross, when you made an open choke, defeating him and bruising him and destroying his yoke from amongst those that God has made to love upon him. Father, today I want to thank you for the victory of the resurrection that happened in Jesus, because that same seed of the life of God that was in him, that raised him from the dead, is now working in us to conform us into that image of the Son of God. Father, the one who rules, the one who has dominion, who has absolute power, absolute might, and absolute strength. Father, thank you that we are adopted into a covenant that releases all that you have and makes it in our disposal. Thank you, Lord, for your glory and the majesty of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that darkness is subject to light. And Jesus, you are the King of light. Jesus, you died to defeat darkness and given your children the victory, because your word says you overcame. The word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And our testimony is that we are going to look like him. Father, thank you that you are the lion. Father, thank you that you are the eagle. Father, thank you that you are the burden bearer. Father, thank you that you have the form of a man who can be touched, who is sensitive. Thank you, Father, that you're real. Lord, I ask for that reality to come upon your house. Lord, that these men and women would begin a hunger for you. Lord, I wish the angels of God, that the fire and seraph and the little watchers come. Lord, that the living creatures come and bring the glory of the Lamb into the house and destroy darkness. Father, that the living creatures bring the heart of the testament of God, that around the throne, Father, the judgment occurs against the enemy. Father, that your heirs see the testament of the presence of the Christ. Lord, I welcome the creatures of God. Lord, that they will see you. The Spirit of glory. Lord, I see your room in glory. Lord, I welcome the creature of God, eyes around them. Father, that as they look, lightning has become. Father, you break mindsets, you break images, you break open possibilities. Father, thank you for these children. Father, I come before that throne today. Lord, your word says we can come bold, and I come before that throne. Say, Lord, behold the bride. Father, behold the bride. Lord, restore that which has been stolen. Let the devil pay usury for that which he has stolen. Usury for the things that he has taken from the house of the Lord. Usury for the price that the believers have paid. Usury, Lord, make him pay usury. Let the judges of Israel decree usury. That the angels of God decree repayment for that which has been stolen. Father, become a lover, a Father, the lightnings of God, they're released from the earth and destroy shekels in the church. Lord, the watchers power and body which is and is established by the decree of the watchers, the decree of the word of God out of the throne of the Lord spoken in judgment against the enemy. Father, let this be a new day in your house. Lord, let it be a new day for your bride. Lord, let it be a new day for your heirs. Let it be a new day for your sons and your daughters. Lord, let it be a new day. Father, I ask right now for the impartation of prayer. Lord, I ask for the revelation realm of heaven to come upon these people. Father, deliver to realm your voices that the eye of our understanding be enlightened. Father, with the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ, Father, that the revelation knowledge about who you was and who is and who is going to be. Lord, let it come upon your house in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the creatures of God, let the angels of the Lord contain and fight on behalf of the beloved. Lord, we release them today. Let them be chained by unholy Father. We release them today to function in their role, to contain on our behalf, to restore what the enemy has stolen. Father, let the fire come upon the scrolls of death. Let the fire come upon the candles of death. Let the fire of the glory burn and consume the very sacrifices that have been made to destroy your bride. Let the fire come upon them in the name of Jesus. Let the living fire consume death, changing, and bring you life when it's been dead in your bride. Father, we lay hold of it and bring it down to the earth through the second heaven to destroy all language will cease the life of God. In the name of Jesus, let it be according to your will, Father. Oh, yeah. You know something I really enjoyed my time here with you? This is the first time that I've opened up things that God has done with me today. You know, in some ways, you're privileged, but this is what family is all about, sharing life. Now, I don't have it all by a long shot.